This is exactly right.
Hi, I'm Erin Welsh.
And I'm Erin Alman Updike, and we're the hosts of This Podcast Will Kill You on Exactly Right.
We're back with our seventh season, which is bigger and better than ever.
Because guess what? We're now a weekly show.
This season, we're tackling everything from long COVID to norovirus, from the supplement industry to IVF, and so, so much more.
New episodes drop every single Tuesday.
Follow This Podcast Will Kill You wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Babs Gray, and I hope my therapist brought a bib this week, because we're about to dig in.
Oh, yeah.
I'm Brandi Posey, and if you've ever used the same crazy glue more than twice, I don't believe you, and you're a liar.
Yes.
I'm Tess Barker, and requiring a strong password is a hate crime against pot smokers.
And this is Lady to Lady.
Can you keep a secret?
Neither can we.
We got Barbara. For everyone, that's the fucking best. Come on, baby, it's time to hang out with your favorite ladies. Ladies and ladies, ladies and ladies.
Welcome to the show, everybody. We're so excited to have you here.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We're excited to be here in our
homes. I guess
homes.
We're being somewhere. We're not really having anyone.
If you have to somewhere. Be somewhere, be there.
What's time? What's money? Mm-hmm. Who gives a shit about anything? We're alive, I think, and that's all that matters right now.
Let's bring on our guest. I'm so excited to have her on the show. She has so much going on. I'm going to read every single thing that she's doing because I want to. She's got this amazing Netflix special called Sweet and Salty that is just nominated for a Critics' Choice Award. You can see her on Kenan Thompson's new NBC sitcom. She has a radio show called What a Joke with Tom Papa and Fortune on SiriusXM. She has a podcast called Sincerely Fortune, and she's in the movie Barb and Star Fortune Feimster.
Woo-hoo!
I wanted to do all of it.
I appreciate it. Thank you. It made me feel special.
Hell yeah. Do we get everything? Is there anything that we could have possibly missed in that?
The Netflix after party with the... Right, did you say that?
Oh, yeah. Netflix after party with David Spade, too.
Every other Saturday or something? I don't know. If you like Netflix shows, we talk about them.
Oh, yeah, it's like a wrap-up. It's a wrap-up of other Netflix shows. It's cool because you get to talk to like all the people everyone's obsessed with, like the Queen's Gambit cast and all that kind of stuff. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's kind of, we're figuring out the show as we go, but it's shaping up to like, I think just mainly be about one show or one set of movies per episode.
Nice.
So we talk to the main cast of those shows that everyone's like going nuts for worldwide. It's pretty cool.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Queen's Gambit was really disappointing for me to watch. I loved it so much, but I really realized I'm never going to be good at chess.
I know. I mean, it's a special skill.
Did you guys know, truly, I knew, I guess, like some people studied it or there was like some method, but I truly had no idea that it was something that you like memorized strategies for. Like I'm always just shooting from the hip. Like when I play chess, I'm one move at a time. Like, I'm very much an improvisational chess player.
I'm more of a checkers or four square type of gal.
I'll just read Twitter is what I'll do.
That's challenging, too, though, in its own way.
It is. It is. I read Twitter like it's chess, which means I don't know what's happening. It makes me feel stupid most of the time. So
I think I've learned not to play chess, and most of the people I've dated have learned not to play chess with me because if I lose, it's not pretty.
Yeah.
Right. It's definitely because it is. It's a smart game, and you feel very stupid when you're not good at it. So it's not really
feeling
to
stupid.
Like.
Fortune, do you like, are you really a games person? Do you like board games and stuff like that?
I was never before the pandemic. I mean, when you reach, during the holidays, we reached a point where we were like, what else are we going to do? We've watched everything. So we started, I played Scrabble for the first time. I had never played Scrabble. We were doing puzzles. It was a whole new world for me.
Yeah.
I'm kind of in that place too. Yeah.
It feels like we're all getting to the place in life where we're like taking the stuff out of our life freezer that we like have had there for 8 months and finally cooking it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I think it was also the attempt of like getting away from screens a little bit, which I think is totally regressed now. We're all just back to like being
on
screens.
We're back to it because more movies are and TV shows are out, the holidays were kind of like bleak. You got like one holiday movie.
I know, yeah. And then, so now we're all like, okay, I'm just back to like scrolling 24 hours a day.
Yeah.
No puzzles for me. I tried, but.
My roommate for Christmas got me a tiny pottery wheel, and I'm like gonna I haven't busted it out yet because it's like it's gonna be dirty, it's like gonna be like a whole production, but it's like I need to just set it up and just have it there, and then
a
just
tiny
casually.
One
yeah
so, like, what is- so you'll be making like ashtrays
basically. Yeah, I don't smoke, but I'm just gonna have a ton of homemade ashtrays.
A thimble.
Yeah. Yeah, the wheel part is only like this big, so it's like the size of like a Honey Crisp or something. So I'm gonna be making tiny little pots, maybe
a Honey Crisp. Wait, where? What is it? What is this?
Like an apple? Like a Honey Crisp apple?
Oh, I was thinking of the cereal.
I thought
the
cereal too. Oh, honeycombs. I think we were thinking of.
You can tell we got a cereal crowd here.
I was like, this is like a very specific
cereal crowd.
Measurement.
I was like a cereal. Okay.
I don't know why. I was just like, no. What's the biggest apple that I can think of? I was like, oh, look, those Honey Crisp ones. Sorry.
Well, yeah. Well, those are definitely the most expensive, I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
Speaking of it, produce, this is so obnoxious. Sean and I are so annoying, I want to slap us. In the same week, we got into juicing and playing tennis.
Wow.
No. Wow.
Did you just automatically have a sweater like grow around your shoulders when this happened?
Exactly. You can't take it off like Tim Allen in the Santa Claus when he tries to get rid of it. It just keeps coming back.
Now, is juicing not like a fake thing? Isn't juicing like not real?
Well, the juice
is real. You just have to buy a lot of veggies and fruit. And
but I've heard that it's not really good for you to just drink like that stuff. I thought that you're supposed to chew it or something.
Yeah, I think people say that like the fiber is the good part in the fruit, and when you juice, you're getting rid of the fiber. It's just the juice, but it just tastes good and it makes you feel healthy, and it really fuels a good tennis match.
Tess loves a snake oil, and we're gonna let her
love a snake oil.
Yeah,
yeah. I mean, really,
I'm a tennis player, so I can't make fun of you too bad.
No. Are you? I literally, when I say we've been playing tennis, I mean twice we went to the park and like batted some balls around.
Yeah, I played in college. I'm a closet tennis player.
Ooh. Nice. Do you still play?
I haven't in a while because my wife doesn't play and I don't have anyone to play with. I was on a league out here when I first moved to LA and I was in tournaments all the time.
Oh, whoa.
It was me against a bunch of dudes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I loved it. But then I got old. And now, like, things in my body are hurting. I'm like, my shoulder.
I know.
Yeah.
Tennis is one of those things too that really works muscles that you're like, what the fuck is that?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And you'll like go for a ball and you're like, oh shit, my arm just almost fell out that time.
Yeah. I know. Me and my boyfriend went out to the desert this past week. And first of all, the desert is more terrifying than I think I realized.
Yeah.
Because like
depends.
Animals and stuff.
Well, we were in a really, so we got like a cute Airbnb, but the area was in every.
Like Palm Springs is dangerous.
we were in Joshua Tree.
Oh, okay.
Which can be like either, you know, I've been there
real
a few
sketchy
times.
Yeah,
but yeah, we were in a sketchy area, and it was
like a meth corner.
It was mm-hmm. We were in a meth corner, absolutely. Every plot of land had a burnt out shack on it. Every single one.
Yeah.
I was like, why are there so many? There, you could tell someone was just like, well, let's move on to the next one. Like, they just
blew this shack up.
Yeah.
Which is so, I mean, just from what I know about the way meth works, like, you would think you would have the energy to clean it up.
I only know what I know from Breaking Bad.
Yeah. Well, there's lots of Breaking Bad RVs everywhere. It was just really like funny. And then it was so quiet at night. So you would just sleep. And like all I could think about was like either an alien. Maybe this is just my brain working weirdly. But I was like, oh, I understand why people think aliens fuck people up in the desert now. Because it just felt like so expansive and like quiet and weird. It was super relaxing.
Sounds like a great trip.
Yeah, I was scared of being murdered every second. Yeah. What a trip.
Well, she had like a great video of just like there was just a scream just happening off in the distance at one point.
No.
That's the thing is we didn't see anybody. So that was creepy. We drove to this like a remote Airbnb. We didn't see a single person the whole time. We only heard yells in the distance or big booms because I think there was like some kind of government testing site or something. There was like loud booms happening.
Wow. Yeah, that was a scary trip.
Thank you for affirming.
You're welcome. It's scary. If you start glowing green at any point, like, let us know, but also let's get to a doctor ASAP.
I feel like you guys will see it, so you tell me if that happens. It was creepy though. I don't know. Just doing obviously any kind of trips is like a weird time. Have you been traveling at all, Fortune, or have you just kind of like stayed put?
We've stayed put. I mean, normally in normal times, I'm on the road like every weekend touring.
Yeah.
I mean, I had a couple little things I did back in the fall before the numbers really got crazy. Mm-hmm. But since then, we haven't been anywhere. Once the numbers got wild, we were just like, we're staying put. We went to Palm Springs once.
Yeah.
Was Palm Springs scary or was it okay?
No, it was okay. I mean, anywhere that we could drive, we felt like better about that.
Yeah.
I've been avoiding airplanes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's been kind of the general thing for like, all of us.
I don't know. This is, none of us are scientists. Maybe this isn't the right place to have this conversation, but.
Oh, I can't wait for this.
That's a good.
None
of us are scientists, FYI.
I don't know about you guys, but like, as far as I'm concerned, once I get the shot, I'm out. Like, I'm not, flying. I'm going to do it all. Yeah. I mean, dare you guys not? I don't know. Really?
I'm going to have to go back on tour.
Yeah. Well, because like to me, it's also like you could get the shot, but you could still be a carrier. You know, like you can still pick it up to like transfer it to other people. Like, I mean, I won't be as worried about myself, but I would be concerned that
Again,
I could still.
Not a scientist, but I do have a lot of doctor friends who don't seem to think that that's very likely.
Okay.
Who've gotten vaccinated. Yeah. So. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, vaccination's so we'll far see. Away in my head that I haven't even thought about it yet. So
yeah, I'm just like, me. I'm getting
feels like we're not getting it till like June or something.
Yeah. So I think I'm just not thinking about it until it's actually a possibility.
Yeah, I'm trying to like be like
I keep passing by CVS's, just being like, are we ready?
Huh? Give me a little something, maybe.
So far, no luck. They're like, "Are you 65 or older?" I'm like, "How dare you?
Come get some Spirit gum. We could all do like some high school theater old people makeup."
That's not a bad idea. We should start giving out fake IDs for people to make you over 65. Like, that's a booming business.
Well, you just keep hearing these stories of like a freezer breaking somewhere, and they just start handing out shots to everyone that's like walking by. I'm like, well, why can't that happen when I'm passing a random building?
Yeah, it seems like there should be some kind of text chain where they're letting us know when this happens.
Yeah. Right.
Or maybe like a lottery, like maybe kind of like Monopoly at Vaughn's. Like if you collect all the pieces, you get like an early vaccine.
That's the next McDonald's.
See,
oh my
Monopoly
God.
Game.
I love a Vaughn's Monopoly. I would love it if that was the case.
Brandy's jonesing over here.
I get real into it. I almost won like two of them last year. I had gotten two of the rare pieces, but then the pandemic started.
I know, but that's what always happens. We always almost win. That's how
I just don't play.
this is how I play. I go on the internet, I go on Reddit, and I find out Reddit knows which ones are the rare pieces, and then I highlight those in my board, and then I don't get excited until I get a rare piece.
Wow, okay. I don't think I've ever been on Reddit.
I hate it. I've been like twice and I'm just like, no, it's like, it reminds me of Costco. I'm like, why does everyone like it here?
Yeah.
Did you guys not do internet forums like when you were growing up? Were you not like online people?
No.
Oh, I definitely was.
I was the person that was like, how do computers work? I'm not great at technology.
Yeah. I did it, I think, just because I knew that there was something sexual I could find on there. And there are strangers to talk dirty to on here. I'll figure out how it works.
That's awesome. I watched Real Sex on HBO. That was my lesson.
Oh, my God.
Or
Taxi Cab Confessions. That's the one.
Those were the best. I was like a young kid just being like, what is this?
I feel like here's a pitch. You should be the host of this. I would love watching you hosting in Taxi Cab Confessions.
A Taxi Cab Confessions, that would be pretty fun. I like that older woman that got everyone to open up. She was like, so what are you doing? She was like from Jersey. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you having a good night? It's getting crazy here in Vegas, huh?
Yeah.
And then they would basically like tell her like, I murdered someone.
She's like, oh
shit.
Man, I used to be a Lyft driver, and I got interviewed so many times at different production companies trying to make like a Lyft version of that show. They'd be like, tell me your craziest stories. And I'd be like, I don't know. People know not to. People watched that show and know not to say that shit as much anymore. Yeah.
So wait, I'm going to out myself as a kid who did not have cable.
My grandma had it. I didn't
mine
have
too.
It.
Yeah, yeah. She wasn't letting us watch Taxi Cab. Did your grandma do this to you, Fortune, where like you only had cable at her house and then you'd go there and want to watch it and she'd be like, all you ever want to do is watch TV. Go outside.
Yeah, I would wait till she would go to bed because she would obviously go to bed a lot earlier, and then I would go in the den and I would pull the chair in front of the TV so that if she were to wake up and walk in somehow she wouldn't see that I was watching the Taxi Cab Confession or the Bunny Ranch had a show too.
Oh yeah. Oh,
I was a little perv. What was wrong with me? God,
all kids are pervs.
I think it's just
that age where just like everyone's a pervert at some point.
Yeah
figuring it out.
My friends and I used to do a lot of AOL chat. We would like cyber with people, and now I'm realizing all kids did that, and I think it was just a bunch of kids talking to each other, all pretending to be old people cybering.
And then one guy named Bob.
Exactly.
Yeah, Bob was definitely out
there. Sure, I'm a kid.
Or he like thinks he's meeting the love of his life, and then it turns out that it's a child, and he's like, oh no, I did not want this to happen.
I think of all the things I'd be embarrassed of I probably shouldn't even say this, of resurfacing would be my old like sexed conversations, or just like conversations with, I literally would date boys from like the internet, and like, ooh boy, that would be so rough to see that.
All those angsty teen conversations.
Oh yeah.
Absolutely. I'm just glad there's not a log of how many like emo lyrics I used as away messages back in the day.
Oh my god, I forgot the away message.
Oh yeah,
it was absolutely a really important choice, like what your away message was.
It really was. It was like people needed to know that you were going through something, and you know, and if you needed to point it to someone specific, then you had to use a specific band or. Wait, okay, so this just made me think. Fortune, you were talking about how you know your grandma would go to bed earlier than you. Obviously, mm-hmm. Why do we do that as we get older? Like, why do I want to go to bed at 9 p.m. now?
Because you realize there ain't shit to stay awake for.
Your body hurts.
Yeah,
you want
the next
tired
day to come. Yeah, I think you just like are like, this day, I'm done with this one. Bye.
The pandemic has aged me like 10 years.
Oh
like,
my god!
I'm like, my hip hurts all of a sudden.
Yeah.
So then you're just like, I guess I'll just go to bed.
I literally don't know how I lived before going like all over LA doing comedy shows and going to shit. I'm like, how the fuck was I staying up till like 1 a.m. every night? I feel so tired thinking about that.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, I don't know what it is about getting, but older people also seem to wake up earlier, so they're still getting.
They're still getting those
amount of sleep.
In.
Yeah, I mean, my grandparents are 90, and I honestly think they only sleep like 4 or 5 hours a night. I'm like, go to sleep. What do you? You guys have nothing to do. Go to sleep.
Do you think that we wake up earlier, maybe because we hate people so much that we know that we have to deal with less of them if you wake up earlier?
Maybe.
Like the older you get, you're like, oh fuck everyone. If I'm awake at 5 a.m., it feels like there's less people around.
Well, there's also the deals. You get like your breakfast deals and stuff. Your early bird specials and whatnot, and like, I mean, I feel like, you know, once you're older, you're retired, you're like, well, let me just start
the
like
deal.
What's the deal?
I love a deal.
I can't wait to have like a card that says I'm 65 and like can just like get free movie tickets, all this stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
show
Brandy,
that shit to
people. I could see you for some reason. I just had this vision of you getting like really into coupons.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I love a grift, and coupons are just like a very, very low key grift. They are.
They are, because, but like, I think they're grifting us unless you do them correctly.
That's what I was about to say. That's the thing. It's like you really got to be on like the lookout, because like they just waste your time otherwise. Like you're not going to do that. Like I've made a choice in my life. I will never really use a CVS coupon because
why?
I'm just, yeah, there's just, it's just not going to happen. Like I
but
went
why
to CVS
because it's just,
Because they're so long?
Yeah, they're so aggressive. And like reading them takes like 5 minutes to read all of them and understand what they're talking about. I never want the stuff that's on there, but they're trying to make me want it so I get a better deal. So fuck that. I'll just never use them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like a gift card. I'm a fan of gift cards. And in LA, when you try to use a gift card, people think they treat you like you're using a coupon. I'm like, no, someone bought this.
Yeah.
And gave it to me.
This is money.
It's money.
Yeah.
And you're acting like I'm trying to get a free meal.
Well, it is funny because they always usually they're never enough to actually buy the whole thing too. Yeah. So you're just like, this is for 15% of the thing that I bought. And then that's why they're like, well, fuck you.
They're like, get out of here with your coupon. It's not a coupon. Someone bought this.
Actually, someone paid it forward. Actually, you owe me something. You already got the money.
Yeah. I like it. Coupons paying it forward.
Yeah.
We're gonna take a break. We'll be right back.
BRB.
BRB.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hey everybody, welcome back to Lady, I'm Brandy.
I'm Babs.
I'm Tess.
And we're here with Fortune Fiendster.
I'm Fortune.
Yeah.
There
nailed
you go.
Fucking nailed it.
Crushed.
Okay, we're going to get to know you a little bit better in a segment we call Who, What, When, Where, Why. Oh yeah.
Who, what, where, when, who, what, where, when, who, what, where, when, who, what, where, when, why?
Wow, what a beautiful voice at the end there.
Really, the original. Feels great.
One day we should release a CD called Now That's What I Call Jingles.
Hey.
Oh my God, I'm in. Somebody I know posted the other day that they came across some platinum, like, you know, those framed platinum things of Now That's
Records?
What I Call. Yeah.
Yeah.
They weren't the records, they were the CDs, but whatever. Mm-hmm. Of Now That's What I Call Music. They just found them discarded in Los Angeles.
Did they take them?
They took them. She said she was going to sell them on eBay, but I think I should try to hit her up for one or two of those, because I would love just to have a golden record of Now That's What I Call Music on my
wall. I want to know who threw those away. Like, is that the producer of them? Or is that some, like, who...
I know. I feel
from?
Like it's a weird thing where someone died and then they just like got rid of them. But maybe that's a morbid.
Their life's work, making compilations. Okay, Fortune. First question.
Okay.
Who is your imaginary friend?
Who? Gosh, I've never thought about that. I mean, in my head, like Oprah and I are pretty tight.
That's a good one.
There you go. You know, I dream that she's inviting me up to Montecito to hang out in her guest house, even if she didn't want to be near each other because it's a pandemic. I imagine I'm in her guest house. I open the window. I'm like, "What's up, O?" And she's all like, "What's up, Fortune? Let's get to know each other." We're chatting. All of a sudden, someone brings like a delicious like lemon tart that was made from her garden.
Oh my God, this is a beautiful fantasy. I love this.
I guess I didn't realize how much I've thought about that.
I also think that it's good to, you kind of want to see Oprah socially distanced because she's so powerful that like her aura emits so far that it might be good to keep 6 feet away.
I would be very intimidated, but also loving every second of it.
Yeah, so Oprah's one of those people that I think if I saw her in person, I would just either cry or faint. Because it's like, well, you're real? It'd be like seeing Santa. I mean, were you like raised by Oprah as a kid?
Yeah, I watched her all the time. And, you know, everywhere from the beginning where it was a little bit more like pop culture-y and like just gossipy. Talk show, and then it went into more like, but then the book club stuff. And then it went into more whatever she felt like talking about, because she was so famous at that point, she could do whatever she wanted. It wasn't as salacious as it used to be. Watching Tom Cruise jump on the couch, you know, all the big moments.
Yes. Mm-hmm. My favorite thing about, especially like that late era Oprah that you're talking about, is it would just get batshit crazy. She would literally be like, up next, this woman was kidnapped for 5 years and learned how to knit. Then we check in with Charlie Sheen.
It was her show where I learned about the down low for the first time. I had never heard about dudes on the down low. I mean, she really opened up some doors for me.
She's an informative person. What is she doing now? She's doing her podcast, right?
Podcast. Mm-hmm. She's got her TV show on Apple.
Oh, okay.
She's doing whatever she feels like doing, basically.
Yeah. Exactly.
I'm always impressed by people that like have made like this massive like world like societal like thing, and they have like generational wealth, and they still do stuff. I'm like, I don't know. I feel like I just like go look at everything.
Well, and she's very influential still within her own community. Jamie Foxx told this story about how when he had done the Ray Charles movie, he was like kind of partying and not taking the like Oscar thing seriously. Mm-hmm. And she like invited all these like powerful people, like Sidney Poitier and maybe Denzel, I'm not sure. And basically invited him to her house. And all of them basically were like, you know, you need to take this serious, and this is important, and here's why it's important. And like, gathered around him and like lifted him up, and like she was the person doing that, like forging that path for him. I was like, that's incredible.
Yeah, her power is just mind-blowing. And another thing that I really like about her is like, this might just be the illusion that I'm getting from like the Oprah world, but I feel like even though she's like this beast that's just working all the time and is like super type A and is always working, I also get the sense that she like enjoys life a lot. Mm-hmm. Like, I get the sense that, like, she takes the time to, like, find a nice blanket.
Yeah, she likes the small things in life, too.
Yeah.
Yes, I agree.
Hold on, is anybody else seeing two Barbaras on the
screen? I am. It feels like...
This is really weird because my Zoom just quit completely, and then I had to come back in, so I don't know why there's two of me.
It looks like you have, like, a twin now. That your twin's the other part of the podcast, and y'all never let your twin talk very much. And she had something she really wanted to say about Oprah, and finally she got herself in on the Zoom, and that's what it felt
is
like.
Is it gone? Is it gone?
She's gone.
She's gone. We didn't let her say what she
wanted to say. That was nothing. Don't worry about her.
We're fine. Babsy, you might want to rehit.
You might want to rehit
record again.
Okay, good. Perfect. Awesome.
Oh, okay. Man, that was really weird. It just crapped out of nowhere. Whatever. Yes, Oprah. I was thinking, that's insane. Like, Oprah and Jamie, can you guys imagine being brought to her house? And like, I just can't.
No, I'm like, why are the lesbians not doing this? Why is there not a lesbian in charge of getting us, shaping us into Oscar form, or even Critics' Choice? Can someone lift me up for this Critics' Choice nomination?
That would be such a good movie, Lesbian Oscar Camp.
Yeah, come on.
That's a great reality show. That is
where
really
like
good.
Wanda and Ellen and Rosie, they're all prepping young lesbians into being Oscar winners.
That is Jody amazing has though, because it's like that's got to be so scary. I bet Jamie Foxx was like just freaked out probably, and so that's why he was like drinking and not doing shit. And to have all these people be like, okay, get your shit together. We all need that. That's a good.
Well, yeah, just a reminder of like, you know, to just be nominated is such a big deal, but to win, only this many people have won. Mm-hmm. So you would be, you know, in a special category of people who've not, you know, had this honor, and that not many people have gotten it. So take it seriously, which I think is really neat that people would care enough to want him to have that.
Can you imagine? Yeah, like Oprah just calling you and being like, you have to come over, and then it's a weird like intervention with Sidney Poitier.
Like, I'm going to need you to take this more seriously. Like, that's a terrible impression, but you know.
I mean, that sounds like, you know how like when you have a family member that like texts you and is just like, call me, and your stomach just drops? That has to be like that times 5,000 when Oprah's like, come to Montecito.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm waiting on that call. I need Oprah to call me to come to Montecito.
Well, I'm also just picturing this intervention, and like everybody is such an accomplished actor, so like they each monologue in a circle trying to outdo the person before them, and it's just like that's 20 Oscar performances just right there.
Yeah.
That's the movie somebody should make. The intervention of Jamie Foxx.
But it paid off. He ended up winning the Oscar.
Mm-hmm.
When are the Critics' Choice Awards?
In early May. So far, no lesbian has called me to give me any advice.
If there's any lesbians out there that have Fortune's number already.
Fortune, maybe you just need to become that lesbian.
Yeah, maybe it's you.
I know. I gotta lead the way for my ladies after May. I have to win something first, and then I can bestow knowledge. This is my first nomination of anything.
Oh, it is? But that's so cool.
That's so cool.
Thanks. I mean, besides, like, you know, RuPaul's Drag Race, I think they've nominated me for some things, but...
Yeah. That's all that matters. I mean,
just as commendable, so...
Oh, my God. Well, yeah, speaking of RuPaul's Drag Race, because we love that show so much, what is that like being a judge on that? Is it as amazing as it looks?
Oh, it's the coolest. It definitely ups my gay street cred, which I appreciate. But totally. I'm such a fan of the show that it's just cool to like see who the queens are before everybody else. Because you film it like, I want to say like a year ahead of when it airs. So a lot of these queens are completely unknown. They've been plucked out of, you know, whatever city they've lived in. Some of them lately, the last few seasons, have been like, there's been some famous ones in New York or whatnot. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, they're just like, you know, Nina West, like in Columbus, Ohio. You're just like, no one knew who she was. And all of a sudden, she's everywhere. And so it's cool to like see them go from that, where they're like filming for 2 months in Chatsworth or wherever it is, to like everywhere. And that's cool. And then it's just, it's a fun, they're really fun. They give you cool, like, they, in your dressing room, you walk in and there's this, like, you know, they're all about swag. There's like,
oh my god,
four shelves of like free things thanking you for like doing it. You're like, aww, thank you.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Do you have like your, like, do you know what the question Rue is going to ask you when she comes down the runway is going to be ahead of time? Like, do you prep that moment, or
they tell you to like think about something, and so it's not and you kind of run a couple things by them, and they'll be like, oh, that that one sounds good. When the queens walk down the runway, you don't know what you're going to see, so you really are just you're trying to like sort of you don't want to step on Rue and Michelle in particular. Mm-hmm. So you're kind of having to wait for your moment to like say whatever you're, and it's all rapid fire. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, you say what this, you say that. And so you don't know what you're going to say, 'cause you don't know what they are dressed as. And also people forget with the judges that, especially for the guest judges, we have no idea what's happened to like, 6 weeks prior.
Totally.
7 weeks prior. They, you know, so if this person had a bad day, you don't know that they've killed it the last five challenges. Mm-hmm. So you are truly evaluating them on that episode, and that's it.
But that's probably makes sense, good for the show to have that kind of balance of the judge that really is just kind of like looking at this look and this performance, and then to have Rue and Michelle, and I guess Ross usually knows too, but...
Yeah. And ultimately they you know, I don't know how the final decision is made, but you weigh in on your thoughts and who, you know, it does usually become pretty apparent who was better and who was not.
Totally. Do they do the lip syncs more than once, or is that just
gosh, I'm trying to remember. It's been a minute. I think it's just once. Yeah.
Cool.
It's got to be so weird to be on a show like that, because like you said, they film so much earlier than they come out. Like, mm-hmm. I can't imagine sitting on that for that long. Anytime I watch a reality show like about a couple, like 90 Day Fiancé or something, mm-hmm. where you're like It's so weird that they can't say anything about their life until it comes out.
You don't remember. Like, I won't even remember things from the episode, and then it'll air. I'll be like, oh, yeah. The last time I was on, I got to also do a challenge. I got to do a challenge and judge, and that was really fun because we did kind of a Cops parody.
Oh, yeah.
And so I got to like really see every contestant in another light besides on. It's hard to judge on just runway.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, I'm just looking at like a look and that's it. But like to get to see them in the challenge and the runway gave me a much fuller view of the each queen.
Well, and I feel those challenges are like exactly why there's no show like Drag Race and there's no art form like drag, because the people on Top Model don't have to also be funny.
Right.
You know, and the people on Last Comic Standing don't have to also know how to do contouring.
Right. It's like every skill in one place.
Yeah. And it's like such a great balance too. Like, you know, you see some people that come in and they have like massive budgets for their runways and stuff. But it's like if you crush it in your challenge, it's like that's like the equal playing field.
Yeah. And I think the challenges are good for them because they truly are isolated. I don't know how long they film. I think 4 to 6 weeks, maybe 6 weeks. And they have zero contact with friends. I think they might like be able to call here and there, but they can't have their own phones there. They have to isolate hardcore. And so I think that they're pretty pumped about a challenge because then they get to see somebody else. They get to do something.
Totally.
And it's some of those challenges really change the trajectory of the show for them. If they like do really good,
totally,
then that challenge can like highlight something that people weren't seeing on the runway.
Yeah. How have you chosen what you've worn on RuPaul's Drag Race before?
It's always a suit.
Oh, okay. Well, like, but like,
it's
what's
always a suit. Because I obviously am not going to wear a dress. It's not my style. And you want to like Ru's so beautiful and. That takes like 6 hours of makeup and the fitting and everything. It is no joke. So you're like, well, if Rue's going to go to all that trouble, I can at least like put on, business casual outfit.
Strap on some khakis. Yes. I think it's great though. Suits are such a good look too. And also, yeah, like it's RuPaul. Like you want to be in a suit next to her because I'm not trying to wear a dress next to RuPaul.
Usually you don't have a lot of heads up though. So it's not like I can get a new suit made. I have maybe like a week and a half's notice, 2 weeks maybe.
Oh, right.
So it's not like I can go out and get some, you know, stylized
suit. There's no, like, montage of you trying on new looks.
Well, I'm a believer in keeping a bottle of champagne in your house just in case. Mm-hmm. And I think that corollary would be keep a suit in your closet just in case.
That's true.
Yeah.
I have a blue suit I've worn a gazillion times now.
Okay, Fortune, next random question.
Yeah.
What is your favorite subject?
Just any subject.
However you want to take it.
Whatever it means to you.
Yeah. Could be school, could be life, whatever.
Probably food.
Nice.
I talk about food a lot. I love food. It makes me very happy. I eat too much of it, but I do a radio show with Tom Papa, and we somehow every show end up talking about food. I always am talking about how hungry I am.
It's the best. Oh, I was watching. Did you guys see that movie Palm Springs?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-mm.
It's basically like a Groundhog Day-esque thing where you get to like relive a day. Spoiler alert. But one of the things they didn't address in it is I was like, you could eat so much food every day and it would just reset. Like, it's a dream. Like, I was thinking about that.
That would be my
dream
to be able to eat whatever you wanted all the time and not like keep getting, you know, as big as a house.
Yeah.
Which is what I feel like in this pandemic, because I mean, you know, listen, I know there are a lot of people that food is hard to come by, especially right now. So I realize that I'm saying this from a place of having food, but I get so excited by it. I look at like Instagram pages of people's food, and like I go to Yelp just to look at restaurants' food.
Oh my god! Every time I clean up my computer, the most thing I have downloaded is PDFs of menus.
Like, yes, menus, recipes. I'm a fan of food.
See, do I don't know. Are you guys all like, you're all pre-menu lookers? You like to know what's on the menu?
For sure. For sure. Mm-hmm.
See, I guess I'm in the minority here, but like, I like to be surprised.
No, I want to think on everything possible.
Yeah. I want to look at all the options, then go on Yelp and then see what that food thing looks like.
Man, people's Yelp pictures of food can be so disgusting. It's so funny when someone just posts this nasty several
pictures of an item, because someone can really make it look terrible.
I mean, food's the best. I also like, it's a blessing and a curse, but I can really eat anything. Like, I'm like a garbage pail. Nothing really affects me like badly.
Yeah, same.
So I can so I'm just like, give it to me. I don't feel bad. Yeah.
My wife, she like has a gluten messes her up. I'm like, I wish something was like saying, hey, don't eat me. It's not good for your body. And my body's just like, more of all that.
Yeah.
Do you guys all fuck with spicy food?
Oh, yeah.
To an extent. I don't like crazy spicy.
Yeah, I can't. I'll do like high medium kind of. I don't like getting like too hot. Yeah.
I think I used to be like where I just like didn't think I liked it or didn't try it enough. Probably because I grew up in Utah where it's like, you know, fucking.
Not a lot of spices illegal. In Utah.
Yeah.
Hot and dancing.
But, unless it's ballroom dancing. They love ballroom dancing in Utah.
Oh, they do. That's a, oh my God.
Where in Utah are you from?
From Salt Lake City.
Oh, from Salt Lake. Yeah. I like Salt Lake. All the former Mormons who are gay come to my stand-up shows there.
Yeah, the gay scene is awesome there. It's a really good like group of people. And the stand-up club's really good. So
yeah.
It's actually really like artsy town and stuff, Salt Lake itself.
I'll be like, my favorite thing to do at the show is I'll say, who all in here grew up Mormon? And like the whole, you know, crowd's hand raises. And then I go, who's still practicing? And then like just two hands raise.
No, those guys are all like 10 drinks deep.
And then I'll say, who's not Mormon because you're gay? And then like all the hands fly up again.
Yeah, I have some friends who do drag there and stuff, and it's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
But yeah, not a
spicy meatball in the city.
They're like, we put ketchup and mayonnaise together. Thank you.
That is, fry sauce is the spices they get, basically. Yeah. But I do miss, now that I eat spicy stuff, I miss it on anything if I don't have it. You got to have some.
Okay,
sauce.
Well then I'm going to, because I mean, not to brag, but I made like the best salsa of all time yesterday. Like it was, frankly amazing.
This is what you used your juicer for?
No.
Make some salsa?
She did. She made salsa. It's basically vegetable juice.
Yeah.
Soupy salsa.
Yeah. I grilled tomatillos, V8. Tomato, habanero, and jalapeno. Then I blended that with lime. But it was crazy fucking spicy. And I'm like, I don't have... Sean, my husband, is like averse to spicy stuff, so I was just alone eating my beautiful salsa. So next time, I'll drop some off for you guys.
Ooh, it's the habanero that was making it so spicy,
yes,
huh?
Yes, yes.
Yeah,
that's the one.
Yeah. That's hardcore.
Yeah. But I'm like, you guys, like, it's fine for me. It doesn't make me, like, shit fire.
What
nothing.
About, I was about to say the next day, I'm doesn't fine. Affect you?
Yeah, I'm fine.
Oh, man, because that's the
you
worst part.
You can also
part.
Drink hot coffee. Yes. I just think you have, like, there's something going on there.
I might be so dead inside.
I know this is so gross, but my mom, I discovered jalapenos in high school, and my mom was like, oh, they're so good with these rolls or whatever. So we would just like eat jalapenos and rolls. And the first time I discovered the shitting fire was the next day, and I was at I was in choral practice, and just was like, oh my, like, you know, the cartoon where the smoke comes out of your ears, like that was me.
Yes. Yeah,
that's beautiful.
Yeah. Worth really it.
Thank you.
Sing
from
your diaphragm there.
Yeah, get those high notes.
I was like, I'm gonna need to be excused. Ooh, yes.
Okay, last question before we go to break. Where are you going?
Where am I going? I mean, I like the path that I'm on. I feel like I know this sounds so weird. My path has always felt very laid out for me.
No, I get that.
I've felt that for a long time. Like, I'm doing the work that's required to keep traveling down that path, but I almost feel in a weird way that whatever ahead of me is already planned out to an extent. Mm-hmm. And I'm following that path. Like, I feel like I was meant to do comedy. The how I even found it and how my journey to LA happened seemed very like it. So many things should have happened to make this not happen, and it laid itself out in the craziest way. That it was almost like I was not going to be able to escape this. This was going to find me no matter what. And so I feel like where I'm going is just continue doing what I'm doing and hopefully making people laugh and making people happy. It does feel like what I was meant to do.
Totally. Oh, I love it. Yeah, I mean, you're crushing it. You have so much going on, so that's awesome.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, you're going to your closet to get your suit for the Critics' Choice Awards. That's you're right. Gonna
fucking win, bitch. Hopefully my path continues down this positive positive way.
No, okay, 100%. We are going to take a break. We'll right BRB. Back. Hey, everybody. We're back in Lady to Lady. I'm Babs.
I'm Patty. I don't know why I went second. I'm sorry.
No, no, here with fine. Fortune. Whatever. We're in the show.
We're here.
We're going to do some lady problems. If you have a lady problem, write to us at ladytoladycomedy@gmail.com or give us a call at 323-6-BUT-30.
Lady problems. Lady problems, do you have them? Lady problems, do you have them? People have them.
And we're going to do an email one this time. Hello to you three beautiful ladies and beautiful guest. I'm here because I'm hoping for some advice on a gay-dy problem. The deets are about me and a high school best friend. Me and him are currently in our early 30s. We've discussed for a few years now debating whether or not we wanted to leave our small hometown, and we've reached the decision that yes, we want to move. The ideal place being Portland, being our number one choice, or a cool bigger city like that. The problem I have, though, is that I feel like I'm ready, but he's not. I moved to a slightly bigger town an hour away about 4 years ago, but I still crave something bigger. My lease is expiring in July and his is expiring in September, so I've been preparing myself. The big problem here is that he just lost his job in April due to COVID and has been living off unemployment ever since, and seeming like he has no interest in getting another job anytime soon. I'm hesitant to want to move with him because I'm not sure if he'll be any more motivated after he moves to a city where he doesn't know any people or have any connections. I'm also in the early phases of apartment hunting and don't know if I should be hunting for just myself or two people and risk seeing how he fares. If you could tell me something about your experiences moving to LA, that would be great. And thank you for any ideas. I love you all so much. And thank you for making the hour drives back to my hometown so enjoyable. Well, thank you for writing
in.
Yes,
I think they've got to just get their own place, right? Like, I wouldn't wait on the friend because, like, it sounds like the timing isn't right with when they're going to be ready to move and you don't really know.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you just really need to clarify with them if they're doing this. Like, you have to be like, I'm getting an apartment, or is this happening?
Yeah.
Oh, so they're just friends. I was thinking they were...
I thought so too. I don't know if they called it a gay-dy problem because it's a gay man.
I think it's two gay guys. Okay. And they're
they just happen to be friends. Okay.
Yeah. I think on a big life decision, a big move, you have to do it for yourself, and you have to make that decision for yourself. And if it lines up with someone that, like, y'all happen to be going at the same time and you can do that, great, but it doesn't seem like you're on the same page. So I think you just have to make your plan, like, this is what I'm doing, and find you a place. If your friend also moves, then you have a friend in town, but I don't know that means y'all have to live together.
Totally.
For sure.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's good, too, to kind of, like, be separate with somebody that when you move to a new town anyway, because, like, you guys can be best friends, but it, like... you're still going to want to go out and meet people and meet a new social circle and everything too. And I feel like sometimes if you move in just with like that one person that you only know, it becomes like you just hang out with each other and it becomes harder to kind of set yourself up in like a new community and a new place too.
That's really true. I know a lot of people who moved in couples where that happened and they just isolated themselves and then it just didn't work out, you know, and people were resentful. So it seems like your instinct is to move. I mean, that's obvious. And you just have to go with that and follow what you're, you know, you're hoping. And then they can kind of figure out their own path because you can't really wait around for them.
And I also do think like you going first might motivate your friend. I mean, I think like not that that should influence whether you go or when you go, but I just need to keep that in mind. Like seeing it, you being able to do it and seeing you be able to go to that city might set like a really good example for them, too.
And if someone's not as motivated as you, you're going to be kind of dragging them along in every aspect of that. And you don't want to move to a city and then also be like constantly worried about, like, you're already trying to figure everything out. You're trying to make friends. You're trying to find your place, find your neighborhood joints, and to have somebody that's like not even like having the same equal excitement and drive. It seems like a tough way to start a new city.
Yeah. Because I feel like this, you're going to be the one that's like, did you submit your credit check? Did you send them the check for this? Did you do that? Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm already just envisioning that.
Yeah. I mean, I came out to LA not really knowing anybody. I know a few people, like cursory friendships and stuff, but I just threw myself into, you know, taking improv and stuff like that. I know things are a little bit different right now with COVID, but I think there's still opportunities to meet people and, you know, either socially distanced or online or whatever that are in your community. And I think it's like really exciting. It's really invigorating to go to a new place where you can kind of be whoever you want. And even if you don't feel like that's what's happening, it is, you do become like your own person once you kind of like put yourself in that position. And I think it's helpful to not be kind of like have any baggage with you, even if it's like an old friendship, that's still a version of you that's like not the same, you know?
Yeah, you really learn to trust yourself a lot too when you throw yourself into something like that too, because like once you've pulled yourself through it and you're like, oh wow, look what I was able to do, I did this move, I got this place, I like have set up this new life, it like really, it just does something for your self-esteem that like you just kind of can't get any other way than just like learning just to trust that you're going to land on your feet in a situation like that.
Yeah, Fortune, you were talking about like how you came out to LA. What's your story?
I moved here. I was 22. I had just moved. I had graduated college. I lived in Spain for a year. Nice. And I had a job in LA waiting, like a job offer out here. And I had a friend from college actually who went ahead right after college, and she moved here. And I am grateful for that because like it was somewhere I was able to stay, but I quickly learned we were not the same people that we were the year before when we were in college together. Mm-hmm. And what motivated me was not motivating her, and she was really struggling with LA and the business, and I was just like had my head down like I'm gonna figure it out. I don't know what I'm doing either, but I'm gonna try things. And it was that case of like, I can't help you. I'm doing what I can to help you, but you're not helping yourself. Yeah. And you do feel like this guilt, like I got like, oh, I met a friend and we're having dinner, but like, you're unhappy. Like, it's a very weird thing to balance. So yeah, I get the convenience of like living with someone that you know, and especially when you don't know anybody, and but you really are kind of people just treat moves and new cities very differently.
Yeah. And yeah. I also feel like if you do go this route of establishing yourself in Portland, then I think it does set up this great situation, because then your buddy can come crash on your couch for a couple nights and you can kind of introduce him to these new friends you have. And then you're more in a place to be like, you can give them a good intro to the city because it's not going to be so weighed down with all this stuff of like, are you going to get your shit together? Are you going to, you know, are you going to get a job here and all that?
Yeah, I think I would just have that conversation and be like, look, I'm making plans. I think I'm just going to look at an apartment, you know, and like you can figure out your stuff. But I want to go for it. And then like no pressure on you and whatever you're doing.
I'm going to go for it.
I've just always been here. So when people are like, what's it like coming to LA? I'm like, I don't know, be born here.
you're from here?
I'm from the suburbs. Yeah. So I'm from Ventura County. So like, As soon as I had a car, I was like, there was never a question of where I was going to live. It was like, as soon as I had a car, I was like in the city every night. And
Were you already doing stand-up when you moved out here, Fortune?
No. Okay. I did some theater in college, but I had a terrible stage fright. I moved out here for that job. I was a personal assistant. I really sucked at being a personal assistant. and I had a hard time making friends. My first, 2 years out here were pretty tough, and mm-hmm. I didn't know anybody. And it just wasn't the same openness as I experienced growing up in North Carolina. Mm-hmm. So I started taking improv at the Groundlings truly just to make friends. And it all started there.
I remember you at Groundlings. I think I had a couple workout classes with you or something. Yeah, and I was like, she's funny.
I remember that. I was as soon as I took my first class, I was hooked. I was like, this is it. This is the thing that.
Yeah. That's how a
puzzle piece.
I went to improv and same thing. It was like, oh, I met people. I mean, me and Brandy met through UCB. You know, we didn't have a class together, but we met through there basically mm-hmm. Right away. Mm-hmm. And even though I don't do improv anymore, I still credit that with just being the way to get me to get to know people and just feeling like I had a community because. Yeah. If you're moving to a bigger city, it is really important to feel a sense of make it a little bit smaller for yourself because mm-hmm. it can be overwhelming. So,
yeah. I kind of try to remember that a lot with LA, especially because it's we're so blessed to have the comedy community because it's I can go to 15 places a night and I'll know somebody that I like mm-hmm. there, you know, and it makes it feel like such a small town.
I'll know
town.
One person I like and five people I don't, but
yeah. But that one person's great.
well, you learn about LA that you have to really try if you want, growing up in, it felt like in North Carolina, if you wanted to hang out, it just sort of happened pretty mm-hmm. easily hanging out with people here. It was you have to really be we're going to be friends. Yeah. What are you doing next Tuesday at 4:00? Because otherwise it's just a constant yeah, we should hang out one day. And then you never do.
Yeah. It has to be very intentional.
Mm-hmm. It's very I think people from LA, we get a little scared with people from other places because they're like, oh, you actually are going to make good on the plans we made. I'm just
Oh, okay. Oh, you're showing up. Okay.
Yeah.
I've been told that multiple times. I'm like, wow, you really follow through. And I'm like, are you saying that it's a bad thing? I don't know. I follow my word.
Look, and I will take the expectation that I'm not going to because I like having low expectations for myself.
I do too. My friend just called me on the phone and I was looked at the phone what's happening? My friend just called.
I know.
Yeah, phone calls are only suspicious.
She's texting? What's wrong with her?
I have one girlfriend who still does the just call me because she's bored in the car thing. And I have mm-hmm. to be honest, I kind of love it because it's old school.
That is great. I think one or two people like that, but anybody beyond is weird.
I have to be in the mood. And then if I'm in the mood, then I love talking to whatever friend on the phone.
Yeah.
But if I'm not in the mood, I'll text them I'll call you in a week.
Totally. Well, it's hard. We all talk professionally for a living all the time. So it's true. Just hard to be I would just like to be quiet for a while.
I was so addicted to being on the phone in high school that I used to take our family's cordless phone and I would put it in a Ziploc baggie and take it into the shower with me to talk to my friend.
Wow. That's commitment to talking.
Tess. Oh,
I did not do that.
No. Man, I had this girl, Monica, that used to call me during middle school. Every time Dawson's Creek came on and she'd call me and try to get me to watch Dawson's Creek with her. And I was like, I don't watch
this
show.
She should have called me. I would have watched it with Monica.
I know. Yeah. You and Monica could have had a great time. I'd be like, I'm not watching this show. I don't know why you're calling me. This is not a way to force a friendship.
Young people, I sound like I'm 50. Young people don't even know how lucky they are that they don't have to go through the fear of calling someone's house and having that person's mother, father, brother answer.
Yeah.
And you have to be like, can I talk to Amy on the phone? That was scary.
I literally forgot that happened until you just said it. I forgot that we had to ask for someone.
Now it's a one-way, it's a direct communication. You don't have to go through a middleman.
No, and kids have their own, damn cell phones. No, my brother and I used to fight to the death. To the death for phone time.
Yeah, you took that phone in the shower. You could at least let him have the phone while you were in the shower. And you're
Hell
like,
no.
Nope. Shower never. Too.
Did your friends know you were on in the shower? I mean, they
absolutely.
Must have known.
I think they probably were in the shower too.
They're like, are you in a waterfall? What's happening?
This just feels like such an LA. That's a very LA way to grow up, having the
yeah,
phone in the
no,
shower.
That feels very
did
LA
you guys
sure.
not talk on the phone like all the time when you were teenagers?
Oh, I talk. I mean, of course.
No,
I
mean, yeah, not really. Yeah. I don't think anyone wanted to talk to me that much.
I just saw everybody at marching band. So I like, saw everyone at school all day and then at marching band for 3 hours
yeah,
after school.
Yeah, but then you had to talk about yeah. the person that yeah. everyone after marching
exactly.
band.
Exactly. Yeah.
Like, a little bit. I don't know.
And then caller ID. And then caller ID was invented and you realized certain friends were stalkers.
Yeah.
Yes.
That part, though.
When they call, I had one friend that was like called like 8 times in a row and didn't know that like we were ballers and had caller ID.
Mm-hmm. Star 69.
Oh my god, whoa.
That put the kibosh on a lot of prank calls.
Yeah,
I know. I was a good prank caller back in the day.
Oh, I'd believe it. Do you remember, do you have like a specific one that you're like very proud of?
I don't know. It was always like, you know, I was the dummy that was always like, is your refrigerator running? You better get catch it.
Classic.
Gotta get it. Yeah.
If it's not broke, don't fix it.
I remember when I was a counselor for some like teens when I was like 20 or something, and I did prank calls with them, and I remember they were like, well, you're cool. I'm like, yeah, that's right. I felt very proud of myself.
Just asking for like the wrong name, we thought we were so hilarious. We're like, is Jake there? We're like, Jake doesn't live there. And we're like,
oh, for sure.
Hilarious.
We did this thing in eighth grade where like you have to take standardized tests and everything, and to make kids, they had told us all that like they weren't going to count for your grades, so kids were like, oh, well, I'm not going to come to school then. But they to encourage attendance, they gave out raffle tickets every morning, and then you got to win stuff at lunch, so you had to stay till after the test to see if you won like Gap gift cards and stuff. Nice. Me and all my friends, we saved up all our tickets all week long, and on Friday we all wrote Seymour Butts on all of our tickets.
Nice.
To increase our odds of winning.
Nice.
Yes.
And then we won a $20 Gap gift card. Mm-hmm. Mr. Harrington had to be like, Seymour Butts, come on down. And it was just our table in the cafeteria was just screaming and standing on our desks victorious. It was amazing.
That is definitely like a peak. Like, that's it. Oh. We all peaked when we made
Bart
the teacher
Simpson
say that.
Do that all the time.
Yeah, that's totally where we got it from. Yeah. But then I remember going to science the next period, and there was like the hot substitute was in that day. Mm-hmm. And like a couple of like the hot girls were trying to be like, oh yeah, like we did Seymour Butts was like our thing. And I was like, no. You didn't. That was ours. I don't even like him. How dare you steal my joke?
I love the fact that you guys thought a junior high substitute teacher was going to be amused by your hijinks, as if junior high substitute teachers aren't the most hijink proof people of all time.
I do want to say, because we're old aunts talking about this, but if there's any younger listeners, tell us if it's prank calling is still a thing. I need to know if this still exists.
They're probably prank Snapchatting. No, they're not even Snapchatting.
I feel like it's like chat roulette. Like, chat. Yeah, like you'll show a weird dick on chat roulette or something, and that's
chat roulette's like 10 years old now too, though.
I don't know, we're just so old.
All right, okay, that's it. That's the episode. Fortune, thank you so much for doing the show. We really appreciate
my
it.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, do you want to let everyone know where they can find you online or what they should look out for?
I'm on Instagram. I post on there quite a bit, at Fortune Fiendster. Check out Barb and Star. Go to Vista Del Mar. It's on video on demand, like Apple. I think you can rent it on like Apple and Amazon. Very, very funny movie starring Kristen Wiig, and I have a little part in that. Awesome. And yeah, I have a podcast, Sincerely Fortune, and if you're into talking, I talk.
Hell yeah.
Into a microphone or not on the phone.
That's right.
All right, everybody. Thanks so much. We'll see you next time.
Bye.
3, 2, 3, 6 but 30.
It's 6 but 30 somewhere.
Okay. Hi, guys. I'm currently listening to your episode with Karen Kilgariff, who I love dearly. And I'm not going to put my name out there because I have a ton of friends who listen to this podcast, and I have never told this story. But you guys were talking about public naps, and this is sort of a public nap. So I am early college this time. It's like 2013, 2014. And I like, you know, Tinder just came out. I'm enjoying myself on Tinder, hooking up with all these people, like exploring myself, men, women, the them, theys, and the gays, like all of it, loving it, whatever. And I am at a house party. I call this person on Tinder, which like is like dumb because I'm drunk, among other things, and like, you know, not the best advice to just have random strangers pick you up. But anyways, go over to this person's house, and like I kind of noticed that it was, nothing was really on the walls, but I'm like, oh, they're like a broke straight dude. Like, of course there's nothing on the walls. And there's like no, there's like a lawn chair and a TV on the floor and a PlayStation next to it. And then an air mattress in this like weird curtained section in this apartment. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to get my head, get my bread, then leave. So we like do the dirty. I pass out on this air mattress and I like usually set an alarm. So I'm like out the door at 5 a.m., you know, call my friends to come pick me up. There's no charger. There's no outlet. So I fall asleep and my phone died in the night, whatever. I wake up the next day. The apartment is completely empty, including the air mattress that was underneath me. And I wake up to the landlord showing the fucking apartment to other people. I am barely dressed. The landlord walks in and we just stare at each other and I'm just like, hi, I'm just finishing cleaning up in here for them. So if you could just give me 5 more minutes. He like looks down, clearly sees my black fucking thong underwear on the ground. And it's this sweet, like, middle-aged couple, and everyone just looks horrified. They walk out the door. I get sort of my shit together, grab my purse, and, like, have this moment of existential dread where I just feel every Catholic shame that my mom and dad ever taught me to feel. And then I was like, you know what? No. Fuck them. The dude's an asshole for leaving me there. Like, just wake me up. Like, it doesn't have to be weird. So I fucking grab my heels, walk outside, right by the landlord and the cute middle-aged couple, and I walk 18 blocks back to my apartment to realize that I had left my keys at the other place. So I called my landlord and got a new set of keys, and then my landlord showed up, and I was outside in a mini skirt with mascara all over my face, and I just stood there like the proud slut I am. Okay, so, yep, that's my public nap story. Sort of public. More public than it needed to be. Thank you guys very much. I love you guys so much. I'm so glad you're on the Exactly Right Network now. Okay, have a good one. Bye.